Well, here's my problem.
I don't understand what the purpose of that is.
It makes me wild.
The point that I think is important in this whole debate is we can move on.
Are you going to poke him again?
I know.
I'm intimidated.
You should be.
So this is the feature in which we convene a regularly rotating roster of informed and articulate Cape Bretoners to give us their take on the stories of the week on the Information Morning Issue Panel. On deck today, we have lawyers Anna Manley and Candy McCarthy and physician Chris Milburn, all regulars on the Issue Panel. Good morning to you all and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did anybody get out their pinhole projectors this morning?
No, not even close.
I must say that Stan Williams' photograph taken through the telescope at the Two Rivers Wildlife Park location was a little more impressive than my pinhole image, but there was a certain satisfaction, I have to say.
I'm sure yours is wonderful.
All right.
I remember being a kid and being told that if you looked at the solar eclipse, you would go immediately blind.
Yes. And staring, all looking down at the ground all day, absolutely terrified.
Right.
But wanting to look.
And afraid to divert your eyes.
But wanting so bad to look.
Yeah.
Well, Candy, how do your kids feel about being back to school?
They love it. My kids are social animals, and it's good for them to be in school. So we're pretty happy in this house that school went back.
Hey, where do they get that?
Particularly, I have a grad. So thank goodness he gets to have some semblance of a grad week.
You
right?
have a grad. Okay.
So, yeah, I have a grad.
Yeah. So what's he think about all the restrictions this year on the grad celebrations?
Well, you know, honestly, he hasn't known anything other than that in the last 2 years. So he doesn't, you know, he has nothing to compare it to, I guess, for a high school experience than having most of it take place during a pandemic. But the school is doing great to do what they can. They've had kind of theme days all week. They get dressed up as tacky tourists and dressed like your teacher. And last night he had a socially distanced and masked game of hide and seek. So, yeah, they're doing the best that they can. And, you know, it is what it is. You can't change it, so you just got to roll with the punches.
How do you dress like
really grateful he's in school?
How do you dress like a teacher?
Well, his dad is a teacher, so what he did was dress like his dad. They went as twins, so it was kind of funny.
Oh, no.
Other ones, I guess. There's actually a Milburn at Glace Bay High, and I believe he might be related to Chris's brother. He was a very popular dress like a teacher because he likes to wear shorts and socks. So,
yeah, and also we have a genetic tendency towards very loud shirts. So
right.
Anna, do you have anyone in school yet?
I do not. My oldest is almost three. He'll be three in August, so I've missed out on all the school in and out and in and out.
Oh, lucky you. So just generally, I guess, what did you think, Candy, as the resident parent here, of the decision to go back after it had been suggested that no one was going back this year?
Yeah, I think they probably called that too early because I think a lot of the problem came from there. When we were kind of planning that this was a temporary measure and we'd be returning to school, people kind of governed themselves accordingly and settled into it. People don't love change, and, I mean, people are going to complain no matter what, but I think maybe calling it for the year and then shortly after that putting it back was a mistaken messaging.
And what did you think of the decision to go back?
I thought it was fine because to me, if it's safe to go to school, that's what it's designed for in person, and that's where they should be. I mean, they need to prepare themselves for, particularly high school students, need to prepare themselves for university in the world, and for all children. I think the socialization part of school is just as important as the books and the tests. So I think if it's safe to go to school, then that's where they should be.
So, Dr. Milburn, no children in school, but you obviously have extended family members in the right places. And as our resident medical expert on the panel this morning, what did you think of the decision to go back?
Better question to ask me is, what do I think of the decision to cancel in the first place? The decision to go back made scientific sense. The decision to cancel in the first place was unjustified in my estimation. There were actually groups of pediatricians, physicians, both in Canada and elsewhere, that put out statements basically saying it was a very bad idea to take kids out of school. When we do that, it shows a complete lack of understanding of COVID. Our esteemed premier said something that I think was inexcusable. He said something along the lines of COVID doesn't discriminate by age. And COVID is more than 1,000 times more dangerous for old people than for young people. So, for instance, for young people, there's far, far less young people affected by COVID than have been affected by the flu. And not a little bit less, but it's way less dangerous for young people than the flu. And for whatever reason, they don't seem to be a vector of spread until they hit their into their late teens. So most civilized places in the world left young kids in school all through this. And my problem with it is, number one, it's completely unscientific and political and crass to make it look like we're doing good things. And number two, it's harmful for the poorest kids, like rich kids with laptops at home and parents who care about their education and are going to be on top of that have done just fine, thank you very much, whereas the poor kids, the kids who might be even abused at home, they've been really, really suffering with this. So it was a terrible thing that was done. And my last little gross about this whole thing is that at no point have I ever heard anything out of our public health, and I'll use the term experts in quotes in this case, talking about what are the downsides of our lockdown measures or mask measures or anything. I've never heard a discussion of the downsides and then a discussion of the upsides and say, here's overall why we thought this was a good idea. It just seems to be we're locking down, schools are closing. We have to do this because COVID. It's always because COVID. It's never, yes, COVID is bad, but what about what we're doing? It's never talk about it.
Well, to be fair, though, Dr. Strang has mentioned the impacts of lockdown measures, for instance, on vulnerable populations, on and the reason they kept kids in school so long, he said, was because the better place for kids is at school, and there are other social indicators of health other than the physical threat of COVID-19. And the reason that they took kids out of school this last round was because there was evidence of community spread, and there was evidence that community spread had made its way into the schools.
So I guess, though, what I'd say, Steve, is if anyone cares to really look carefully at science, fine. We just have to use these magic words, and we could do whatever we want really mess with people's lives. We invoke the community spread name, and then we can shut everything down. Schools, especially schools for young kids, are just don't seem to be vectors of community spread. So it's fine to say there's community spread, but it doesn't follow, therefore we need to shut schools down. That doesn't actually follow.
But, I mean, that's why they opened up as quickly as they could, right? I mean, Candy, to your point, they shut it down. They said it's going to be shut down for the rest of the year. And then as quickly as things started to, I guess, turn around with the community spread in both Halifax and in Sydney, they opened everything back up because they know that it's not good to keep everything locked down.
But
so,
it still misses.
It's kind of a reasonable thing.
It still misses my point that if you look at the science, if we're actually, quote unquote, following science, we wouldn't have shut them down in the first place. Your comment, I take it, I don't think it's wrong, but I think it misses the point. My point isn't, should we have opened up, it's should we have shut down in the first place. And if we're following the science, the answer is no.
Okay, Candy McGrathy, what do you think as a parent with kids in school of the decision to enter that circuit breaker and shut the schools down?
Well, I actually tend to agree with Chris that a lot of the decision to me felt political because Facebook is probably one of the worst things that ever happened to us. But if you're kind of on to that, all you heard was cries of people saying, shut down the schools, shut down the schools. People weren't sending their children to school. Hmm. The attendance rates were really, really low. So I do feel that there was some of that had to have been politically driven. That said, Chris is the benefit of being a doctor and kind of being able to understand the science. I think from kind of Joe Public's point of view was that people were scared when there was community spread. So there was a fear as well from the community that likely contributed to that decision outside of just the, stark science.
All right, this is the Issue Panel. You're listening to Anna Manley, Candy McCarthy, Chris Milburn. We are 13 minutes before 8 on Information Morning at 92.1 FM in beautiful Seaside Dominion, Cape Breton. Another aspect that's come up in recent weeks, and this week especially when it comes to community spread and the threat posed this summer by the pandemic, is the issue of vaccine passports and certain provinces beginning to issue vaccine passports, and certain provinces, including Nova Scotia and others, suggesting that they're going to require a vaccine passport proving that you've had your two shots before approving entry for this summer. Anna, as someone who is conversant in the law, what do you think of the concept of a vaccine passport and requiring it to get into this province?
I think you're just going to be, because you know I'm going to yell at you in all caps. I really, really have a problem with the vaccine passports, a real fundamental issue. And it all comes down to Section 6 of the Charter, which covers our mobility rights. Canadians are allowed to move freely between provinces. We are permitted to do that. We're permitted to do that without any checkpoints being at the border. And whenever people talk about these vaccine passports, it kind of intuitively makes sense. But when you actually think about it, it's like, okay, we put in these vaccine passports, and then how are we going to enforce these things? So there's going to be checkpoints at the border between the provinces. And if anyone has ever been through a roadside stop, I mean, I have a legal education, Candy, you too. And Chris, you're also a person of education and, you know, opinion. So, I mean, if you're a roadside stop, you still feel uncomfortable, even if you're in a position of relative privilege. Imagine if you're a person who's just a regular person, doesn't really know the law, doesn't really know how to defend yourself or talk to police. And then all of a sudden you're being stopped and asked for something, you know, you don't really feel like you have the right to refuse. Technically, you do. A vaccine passport, in my opinion, is a charter violation against mobility rights.
Now,
completely unreasonable.
That being said, of course, we have been living under a whole wide variety of charter violations for the last 15 months, some of which have been approved by the courts because of the extraordinary circumstances of the pandemic. For instance, the court challenged the person in Newfoundland. What about that issue that we are under a state of emergency still? And we have, the Emergency Health Act, the Health Measures Act, which is permitting the authorities to take these extraordinary measures. And so extraordinary measures are called for in extraordinary times, Anna.
I'd love to. If I could chime in, too, I'm gonna chime in to support Anna, because I think it's a horrible charter violation. And the whole idea of the Emergency Measures Act, it's a favorite trick of tyrannies everywhere to just declare everything an emergency. Everything is an emergency now. We have far less people in the hospital in Canada right now than we would during a bad flu year. Those numbers are dropping precipitously. One of the stats that I think is important for people to know, because we've completely lost our brains and we've completely abandoned science about a year ago. We just became terrified of COVID. And like I say, there are these magic words now, community spread and full hospitals and all this. And a stat for people is, if you were under 50 in Canada last year, you were five times as likely to die in a car accident than die of COVID. And it got that. Spread goes way, way, way up if you were healthy and under 50. So how dangerous is this? Like, can we just put in emergency measures every year the flu comes now? Because the flu is harder on kids and young adults than COVID is.
Oh, we have vaccines for the flu.
Sure, yeah. And so should we have a flu vaccine passport as well? Like, where does it end? And this is a slippery slope. The other big problem with this, just conceptually, and I completely agree with Anna, it's a charter violation, and I don't think it should be allowed. But then the other problem is, this vaccine's only been around commonly for less than 6 months. We have no idea, 2 years from now, are we going to see a bunch of weird autoimmune disorders from this vaccine? Nobody knows that yet. We can't tell you any long-term data because there is none. So we're going to be forcing people to get what's essentially an experimental vaccine. We don't like to call it that, but this is still experimental. And it just the thought of forcing people to do that. You cannot see your grandkids unless you get a vaccine. It's kind of horrible.
Candy McCarthy, you want to offer a dissenting opinion, counselor, on the issue of a vaccine passport?
Well, you know, I would agree with both of them. If it wasn't the state of emergency, I think that the measures are the reason that they can do these kinds of things is because we are under that state of emergency. So, that surpasses the obligation to the charter under special circumstances. Whether or not, you know, they should be or shouldn't be, they are. It is a state of emergency. It's declared. I don't think Canada has been known for its tyranny, but it's not just Canada. It's the rest of the world has determined that this is kind of a global emergency, and you know the measures are in place. To me, if the option is you can't travel at all, and we're going to limit, because by the way, we have border check right now. People can't come into the province currently at all, and under very, very strict restrictions. So if we can open it up in any way versus nothing, to me that would be a benefit, because to me the option is going to be that we're not going to have any travel.
So where would it end, Candy?
I would say they have to end it once the state of emergency ends, because they have no justification for it under the charter once the state of emergency is lifted.
What I throw in here is, so when does the state of emergency end? When there's zero people in hospital? Because it will unlikely ever have zero COVID patients.
Anna, I wanted to get Anna back in on that. Where would it end, Anna?
So, I mean, the issue is that they're using this language of continuing restrictions and living with COVID long-term, like in terms of it being in our community. And I have a real problem with that. I mean, I know it's always going to be there. I know that. But the language that they're using suggests this kind of permanent state of emergency that's going to perpetuate itself every year. And Chris kind of referenced this with when he was talking about, you know, we're going to declare a state of emergency with the flu season every year. Like it's a real problem that they're using this. And the problem for me with the passport is that it just feels like there's a great deal of government resources and time and effort that goes into creating something that I'm like, hey, everybody back up, hold on. This was supposed to be a temporary thing, and now I'm going to have this permanent piece of paper that says that I have two vaccines. I just feel like it's like they're, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but it just feels like they're kind of holding on to this state of emergency and perpetuating it for other reasons. To what end, though? Like, what? I don't understand why anyone would, like, the government, I would think, would want this over and done with this past. Does anyone were bleeding money?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think they want the cost of it over. We're all the best behaved we've ever been this past year. We're all very compliant, very good kids. So I guess my issue is that by perpetuating that, they want us to comply continually with these with restrictions that may not be based in science.
And Candy, I will say that that's probably the first time, because I've been on a number of times, it's the first time I've ever, and I'm smiling as I say this, but the first time I've ever heard you say something that sounds very, very naive. Why would the government want to do something bad? It's like, yeah, no government anywhere.
I'm saying, why would they want to continue a state of emergency? Like, I think it's very naive to think that, everyone's eager to have this happen forever. It makes no sense to me that anybody would be eager to have this forever when, it's costing so much money. Yeah. The resources are going to, they're going to have harder years and times to come. Like, just assume that, the government has this conspiracy that they want to keep COVID restrictions and limit people at the borders when tourism is one of our biggest financial drivers. It's just that makes no sense to me. State of emergency, when that should take place, like that's a different discussion. Should we still be in it? Should it be ending soon? Should it be ending now? That's absolutely a legitimate concern and issue to talk about. But to say that, that the suspicion is that we want to continue it, I don't see any benefits to the government of restricting people to our province.
I would suggest that it's a benefit to many people. Many people like power. I've seen a number of, and I got to be careful of how I say this, but I think there's a number of people in power in the public health realm who are quite enjoying being in the limelight and quite enjoying actually having de facto rule over our province right now, and that's not easily given up. People don't give up power easily, historically.
Just before we have to wrap up this conversation, did anybody get speaking of vaccines, AstraZeneca for your first shot? If you want to tell us, you don't have to. Candy, you did? What are you going to do? What are you going to do for the second shot?
Pfizer or Moderna.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of how that rolled out? Right, well, that's what you're going to say this week.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think of how that rolled out?
Oh, my God. I thought it was a disaster, especially because I got the AstraZeneca knowing that it wasn't the best one. But I did it because I was getting messaging from the government that was telling me your best vaccine is the one available to you. And, I kind of took it as take one for the team. You're young and healthy, relatively both. And that, it's more important to get a vaccine.
And it got it done sooner rather than later.
Right. And then that even though it's not the best one, I'm going to do this because my government is asking me to do it, to only turn around and kind of be being told that. And you know what? It wasn't even that they said that. If that was the best information at the time and they had turned around and said after that, this was the best information we had at the time. We are, you know, we're glad that you did that. We thank you. We're going to take care of you. You're going to be fine, right? We're going to have a second vaccine. And if it was just, you know, we do appreciate it. But to me, the messaging just turn around and kind of say, no, we didn't tell Dr. Strang, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, these aren't his exact words, but he made a comment similar to, you know, no, we didn't tell, I didn't tell you that. I told you that to do your own research. And I'm thinking, I'm not a doctor. I didn't do my own research. I did what you told me to do. And now I kind of feel a little bit gaslighted by the whole thing. So I was very upset about it for a very long time. Kind of over it now because I figure I'll get my Pfizer and I'll be fine.
Maybe we'll have you more suspicious of the government soon.
And we'll leave it on that point. Thank you all very much. Appreciate your time and best of luck over the next few weeks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, folks.
Anna Manley, Candy McCarthy have their own law firms. Chris Milburn is a doctor in Sydney. Your thoughts on any of their comments, any of these subjects, and ones we didn't get to, as always, lots of stuff to get to that we didn't get to, are welcome at 1-800-309-5556.